Well, we're so excited to have our friend today, Ty Buckingham. He is an evangelist and an author, all right, which is pretty cool. He'll talk to you about that in a minute. But he travels around the country and the world teaching and preaching on having a simple understanding and relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can we say amen to that? I was so excited when I saw some of his posts and seeing what he'd been doing, and I was like, we have got to have him come here because I love the practical side of how he's able to help people understand the Holy Spirit. Ty is married to Rebecca, and they have a son, Moses, and then they also have one on the way, so we continue to pray for them in that, and they currently reside in Phoenix, Arizona, and so we're just excited to have him here today. And Ty, thank you again for just being connected to the Holy Spirit. We're excited to hear what you have to say today. So, Rockside, can we give him a warm Ohio welcome? Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Hey, for real, it's so awesome to be here. Thank you, Pastor Michelle and the team here for having me out. It's really an honor to be in a house that is just so well known, so well respected. If you're new just to faith or new to church, I'm telling you, as someone who goes to churches all of the time, this is a very good, healthy church. Man, if I lived in the area, I would come here all of the time, for real. But so here's what I love. So as Pastor said, my name is Ty Buckingham. My wife and I are married. We've been married for 9 years. No clapping, that's fine. No, you missed it. You missed it. You hate marriage. It's fine. See, when I first got married, people were so excited, like standing ovations, thunderous applause. And what I'm learning today in Ohio is nobody cares. But it's fine. It's fine. What people super care about, though, this is real, is for a very long time, especially in the beginning of marriage, people would always ask us, Ty and Rebecca, when are you going to have children? And for the longest time, we had the same answer. Like, we would say, like, hey, when are you going to have kids? We would say, we don't know when we're going to have kids, but we're practicing all of the time. And so, if you're married and you didn't think that's funny, you just need more practice. Okay. But for real, so we do have a kiddo now. I think there's a picture of him. So my wife and my son Moses. I think we have a photo somewhere. But so my son's name is Moses, and we are pregnant with another kiddo, and we're trying to figure out names for that. So if you have recommendations, please let us know. We have no idea what we're doing. Oh yeah, there they are. So they're real. Okay, and they send you their love. It's really crazy now. My son is learning how to use a toilet, and I'll tell you what. Praise God to be in Ohio where there's not urine on the floor. Okay, man, we're figuring it out, but it's super good. But today I want to talk to you about my favorite thing to talk about is really my best friend is Holy Spirit. But I think we need to talk about something, man, really spiritual, really to start us out is our pets. Raise your hand if you're a pet person, you have a pet in your home. Okay, most of us. So for me, I feel like there are like three main types of pets. Number one are dog people. Do you have any dog people in the room? Any dog people? Okay, cool. I feel like this is the most like American pet to have. Like when I imagine the American family, it's like mom, dad, two kids, golden retriever with an American flag bandana. America. Like I remember when I had a puppy, when we brought it into our house, I remember I just felt more American. Like I felt like I need to go and vote for something or buy a gun or whatever you do in Ohio. I don't know. But like, so I feel like it's a pretty normal pet to have. Second pet being these are cat people. Do you have any cat people in the room? Okay, cool. Basically what you're saying is, hi, I make terrible choices. And Pastor, I see you. And here's the thing. I've been there. It's part of our testimony. Oh, man, but God's delivered us. We had a cat, but eventually we had to give him away because he had a medical problem called peeing everywhere. And we eventually did the Christ-like thing. We gave our problems to somebody else. And so we gave our cat away. We have a dog, all the things. And then I feel like it's still normal pets. But the third category of pets I want us to think about just for a second is people who have pet birds. And if at least for me, I have never met a normal person who owns a pet bird. And if you're here and you're like, no, I have one, this is your wake-up call, okay? I remember living next door to somebody who, before I was married, I lived next door to somebody who had an exotic bird, which I learned meant like twice as expensive and 10 times as loud. I remember going on walks outside of my house and in front of theirs, and from outside of the house, I could hear what was going on inside the house. The birds were that loud. It was ridiculous. And one day, my neighbors were kind of just being neighborly, and they invite me into their house. And, you know, being a good neighbor, I go into the house, and I noticed something was different. I walk into the house, and it was completely silent. And all I could think was, praise God, they died. No, but I'm just playing. But I was like, what happened? I asked my neighbors, what happened to the birds? Usually you can hear them all the time. Like it's a complaint. And they said, oh yeah. So that they point to the side of their house, so there's room into the side, and they saw I saw the bird cage, which is already an interesting thing because birds are really made and known for one thing, which is for flying. But when we have them as pets, they can't do what they're made to do. And I saw this bird in a cage, but I saw something different because I saw a blanket draped over the cage. Now, I'd never seen this before, and so I asked my neighbors, why is there a blanket draped over the cage? And they said, honestly, sometimes they get so loud, like it's like they're trying to communicate something, but we don't know what to do with them. So when we don't know what to do, we just kind of, to shut them up, we put a blanket over them, and it makes them completely silent. And in that moment, it's as if they're not even there. And in this one really random moment, honestly, at a neighbor's house, I realized how many people treat Holy Spirit like he's actually a bird, where we confine him to a cage of our comfortability, or the worst case scenario, maybe you're like me, and like there's times and seasons where it's like I feel like he's trying to say something, but I don't know what he's saying. I don't know how to hear it. And so you kind of put him in the side room of the house. So he's in the house, but he's not really of the house. And we can put a blanket over him, and we miss out on a massive aspect of who God is and his plan for us. So today, for just a couple minutes, we're going to look at who is Holy Spirit really, what's his role in our life, and what happens when we have an engaging relationship with him. So we're going to go to the Word of God. If you have your Bible, say, oh, yes, I do. Okay, it's all good. If you don't, no big deal. We'll have it on the screen. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. And this is a moment where we see Jesus getting baptized. And I don't know about you, but for a long time, when I would think about Holy Spirit, I would think about a dove or a bird. I would have kind of this image in my head. We see it on church logos, on paintings of Jesus, halo, a bird. And I used to wonder where this came from. And this is kind of the origination of it in a way. So in Matthew 3, 16 through 17, Jesus gets baptized. And it says this. It says, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. Someone say like. Yeah, let's pause. Matthew is the author of this. He's writing down his firsthand experience of what he's seeing. And the best way in his earthly language to describe a heavenly moment is he's like, hey, it kind of looked like a bird resting on a branch is how Holy Spirit is resting upon Jesus. And so he says it looked like a bird or like a dove coming to rest on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. This voice from heaven is the voice of God the Father, which I absolutely love in this moment. And then we have God the Son Jesus getting baptized, and we have God the Holy Spirit all together at the same place at the same time. This is actually one of the only times in the entire New Testament where we see God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the same place at the same time. And it tells me a couple things. Number one is that the Holy Spirit is not a bird, but the reality is this. Holy Spirit is God here on earth, dwelling inside of us when we give our life to Jesus to have relationship with us. And I don't know about you, because for a long time, I used to wonder, well, why do I need a relationship with Holy Spirit if I already have a relationship with Jesus? And the first reason is this, of the couple we'll look at today, of why have a relationship with Holy Spirit is, number one, it is Jesus' plan for you. It's Jesus' plan for you. Jesus is talking to his disciples in John 16, verse 7. Jesus says this, and we'll talk more about this tonight, he says, it is better for you that I, Jesus, leave, for if I do not go, the Helper, Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I, Jesus, go, I will send him to you. And this is a crazy statement. It's really kind of almost ridiculous, it feels like, but Jesus is saying that it is actually better for us to have Holy Spirit with us, because then we have him all of the time. And from the very beginning, it is Jesus' plan for you and me to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. And let me just get it like out of the way. Like, Holy Spirit is for everybody. He's not for the spiritual elite, whatever that would even mean. Holy Spirit is for every believer, every person in this house, and now watching online as well. And so number one is it's Jesus' plan for you. It's Jesus' plan, just straight up. Number two is this. It is way better having a relationship with Holy Spirit than doing life on your own. It's way better than doing life on your own. So I want to illustrate this with a true thing, a true prayer. I've prayed 6 times in my life. The first time I prayed it, I was 15 years old, and I prayed this audacious prayer with all the faith in my bones. And I prayed this prayer. I said, Jesus, let that girl be my wife. Amen. You can laugh, but you've done it. Okay, so here's the thing. I prayed this prayer, and I had texted this girl, and I said, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? Yes or no? Those are the options. She responded with a third option. Apparently, they can do that. And instead of saying yes or no, she said, sure, period, which is kind of depressing. But like in that moment, I was excited, and I went to my room. I put my hand, like I was like on the ground. I was like on knees on the ground. I was like, Jesus, let her be my wife. Amen. Because I'm 15, I know all there is to know about my future. And so, praise God. And then we had a really great relationship, you know, ups and downs, mountains and valleys. 8 minutes later, she breaks up with me. That happened, but it's fine. Thanks for the laughs. It's really nice. But here's the thing. Honestly, I prayed that prayer 5 more times over 5 other women. That's too many women, okay? Like for real. So I would pray this prayer. And often it would go like this, of like, I love Jesus, she loves Jesus, so this has to be Jesus, which is not always the case all the time. And so, but if I'm honest, church, I would get perpetually frustrated with God when he wouldn't answer that prayer. Because I thought it was a good one. I was like, I love the Lord, she I think loves the Lord, we, you know, this is the Lord. And I was like, God, would you let this happen? And every breakup, every issue, any fight, whatever, I would get frustrated that God wasn't answering my prayers. But then I had this understanding, and I want to tell this to you because you might be in a place today, friends, where maybe you are frustrated because it feels like God isn't answering your prayer. But let me tell you this, what if God isn't answering your prayer because he has a better prayer for you to pray? And I believe he does. I believe he wants to not just have, like I want to pray for my blessings for my life, but I want his blessings because they're so much better. They're so much better. And so it's so much better. So eventually, I meet this girl named Rebecca. You saw a picture of her. She's now my wife, praise God. And I never prayed that prayer. Number one, because it had a terrible track record. Like, that never worked. Didn't want to risk it. But number two is this, is when I met Rebecca, I had what I'm telling you about, is I had a relationship with Holy Spirit. And let me tell you this, it actually made that relationship and still does, makes that relationship better. Because I didn't pause my relationship with the Holy Spirit to pursue any other personal agenda. If anything, my relationship with Holy Spirit spoke into every other pursuit in my life. And so, man, as we're kind of getting to know each other, as we're dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, eventually I felt, because Holy Spirit speaks to me, not as a pastor, not as a preacher, but as a normal person, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said eventually that Rebecca is the woman I want you to marry. And I was like, praise Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Rule of thumb for my friends in the room, let's just say God tells you something like that, that the person you're married or you're dating, you're going to marry them, praise God. You don't tell the person that because it's super weird. Okay, let's just say this. Let's say it's date number 2 with Rebecca. I'm over here. She sits there. This is the dinner table. And we're talking and she's like, hey, how was your day? I'm like, it was amazing. And she's like, what was so good about your day? Well, today I heard from the Lord. And she's like, oh my goodness, that's super great. What did God say to you? I'm like, well, are you in for a treat today? Because I don't know how to tell you this, but God spoke to me. So it's him, not just me. God said, you're going to be my wife. You're welcome. I promise you, if I would have done that, she would have gotten up, left, and I never would have saw her again. Because in reality, so much of what that would have been is manipulative. It's kind of strange. It's pretty weird. And if I can be honest, Holy Spirit doesn't give you permission to be weird. He gives you authority to be normal. So like when we pray today, pray tonight, that doesn't give us permission just to do anything in our feelings. We do things rooted on the word of God and what he's calling us to do. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't give us permission to be weird. He gives us authority to be normal. And here's what I love. Instead of just asking God to bless my life, I can have a relationship with Holy Spirit. I can walk in his blessing, and it's so much better. Because man, a lot of us, we make decisions and we say, God, would you bless my decision? Nothing really inherently wrong with that. But what if instead of asking God to bless your decision, you could ask for God's decision, and God's decision is already blessed? Because anything that comes from the Lord is already blessed. And so, man, number one, it's Jesus' plan for you. Number two, it's better than life on your own. And number three is this, having a relationship with Holy Spirit, it is a miraculous life. It's a miraculous life. And before we even get into this too deep is this, what we have to understand is that, man, in the Bible, when we see Jesus do miracles, and he does them every day, all day long, it seems like, there's not one recorded miracle that Jesus does until after he himself receives Holy Spirit. There's not one recorded miracle that Jesus does until after he receives Holy Spirit. And once he does, it's all of the time. And I think it's interesting, though, because we don't see Jesus do really much of anything miracles before Holy Spirit, at least recorded. But yet so many of us, we try to live our life without the empowerment of Holy Spirit. We try to do it on our own power, our own strength, our own way. And it just is never the right or the best way to do it. And let me say it like this, as we get into this and understand, is that Jesus doesn't just do miracles then, but he gives us Holy Spirit so we can see miracles now. Is I want to just speak to something, is there's so many of us in this room, is that there's probably a lot of different faith backgrounds we've grown up in. And so let me just speak to something. If you were ever taught or told or kind of grown up in a tradition that taught you that Holy Spirit stopped back in the day, that miracles are no longer going on, like that's back with the Bible, back with the apostles, let me just really lovingly communicate. The only reason why someone would tell you that Holy Spirit stopped is because that person never started. The only reason they're going to tell you that Holy Spirit stopped is because they never actually stepped into what God has for them. And honestly, they're trying to excuse their own lack of personal power. But I'm going to tell you, not as a pastor, not as a preacher, although I kind of am those things, but just as a normal person, I see miracles all of the time. Why? Because I gave my life to Jesus and I received more of what Jesus had for me through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to kind of share a quick story, and then we're going to kind of get into how we receive more of this. But I have a story I've told a couple times, but it's one of my favorites. And I want to make this really practical for us as believers, because I want us to understand that anybody can operate in this. Anybody can do this. So a while ago, I was going to a pretty miraculous place called Walmart. I don't know if you heard of it. But it's crazy. My wife has this really cool spiritual gift where she can go into Walmart for two things and leave with 48 things. It's got to stop. Okay, but one day I'm going into Walmart kind of by myself, and all of a sudden I felt this nudge of Holy Spirit. It kind of comes as a thought in my mind, like his voice kind of is kind of nudging me. But I want us to do this. If you can, just the person next to you, can you just nudge the person next to you? Just give him a little nudge, just a little wake him up, whatever. And I felt this nudge, and what I felt was this. I felt Holy Spirit say to me, Ty, you can't leave Walmart until you pray for someone who is sick. My response to him, yes, I can. I do all the time. If I'm honest, like just honestly, because the truth is, like honestly, like, there are many times where I have my agenda, but his agenda, his ways are better than my ways, always. And so even though it's not my plan, his plan always supersedes it. And so as a reminder, Holy Spirit doesn't give us permission to be weird, like walking into Walmart and being like, "You, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? You look sick." That would be weird. That would be strange. And it would take a really long time, like honestly. But and so here's the thing. If Holy Spirit tells you that he's going to like have you pray for somebody, he's going to show you who that person is. Holy Spirit isn't trying to take you on a spiritual scavenger hunt so you might find him. Like, Holy Spirit wants what you want more than you even want it. And so I go into Walmart, and I'm just doing my normal life. I get my things, you know, a toothbrush, whatever I'm getting. I'm in the back of Walmart, you know, where all the TVs are, praise God. And then nothing miraculous has happened. Nothing has happened. I've gotten all my things and nothing miraculous has happened. And if that's how the story ends, let me tell you, friends, it's still a good story. Because my goal in life as a believer is not to see the results of following Jesus. My goal is just to follow Jesus, just to listen to his voice. I think a lot of us, we get frustrated because we're looking for the result rather than just the journey. And the journey is where it all is at. And if you base everything off of the results, you will be results-based rather than relationally based. And that's never healthy for any situation. And so this time I did kind of hear him right, though, eventually, as I'm walking from the back to the front, and all of a sudden I felt Holy Spirit nudge me again. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are 9 gifts of Holy Spirit that any believer can be used in. And one of them is called a word of knowledge. Now, I talk about all 9 of these in books, and we'll talk about it later, but one of them is a word of knowledge is where God will give you, through Holy Spirit, information about somebody else to bring them closer to Jesus. That's always the goal. And so all of a sudden I'm walking, and Holy Spirit nudges me again, and he says, hey, in 3 aisles from now is the person I want you to pray for. And my response was, yeah, right. Like, I don't know about you, but I grew up knowing that God specifically loved me, but I believe that he only broadly spoke to me. But just as God specifically loves you, he wants to specifically speak to you. And the way we know it's his voice and not just our own thoughts is it rooted in the word of God, number one? And number two is, I'm just going to go and find out. So I go in aisle number 1, there's nobody. Aisle number 2, there's nobody. Aisle number 3, there's one person. It's a Walmart employee, and it's the cereal aisle, praise God. And you're like, Ty, why does that matter? I am nowhere near as spiritual as Pastor Michelle. Like, I know she probably sees water turn to wine on a daily basis. What she does with it is her business, okay? But here's the thing. I've never seen water turn to wine in my life. But just this morning in my hotel, I saw milk turn into chocolate milk, praise God. And so if God's going to do a miracle at Walmart, I think he's going to do it there. And so it's all kind of silly, but that really happened. So I get the Cocoa Puffs, get in my car, and then I see the lady, and I'm going to go and pray for her. And I want this to be very practical for you, friends, because I believe these stories are not just for preachers and pastors. They're for all people. Like the book of Joel says, that his spirit will be poured out on all flesh, not just the people who happen to hold microphones on a Sunday morning for 40 minutes. And so here's how a healthy believer prays for people in public. And I think we shouldn't do this all the time. And so I go up to the lady and I ask for permission. I say, hey, this might be super weird to you. It's maybe really weird. I think God is super real. I'm trying to hear his voice better all of the time. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Would that be okay? Would that be okay? See, I want to ask permission so I can get a better relational authority to pray with her. Because what I don't want to do is to be a weird believer. And I see her at the other side of the aisle, and I say, it's go time in the name of Jesus. And it's like chasing her down. Like, if you did that to me, that would make me uncomfortable, for real. And oftentimes, you may be the best or only representation of Jesus someone has in a very long time. So I want to do it in the healthiest way possible. So I say, hey, would that be okay if I prayed for you? And she's kind of shrugged, and she's like, sure. And honestly, she's on the clock getting paid to get prayed for. Best deal ever. Thank you for the amen, Pastor, who does the same. Okay, but I love it. But here's how I pray. I'm like, I'm about to pray for her, and I put my hands in my pockets, my eyes are open, and all the things. And I take a couple steps away from her, and I feel, as I'm about to pray, I feel, again, this kind of this word of knowledge where Holy Spirit gives us information about others to get them closer to Jesus. And I tell her, hey, this might be super wrong. I might be wrong. That's totally okay. I have a feeling that 3 days ago that you were in a car accident and it messed up your back in a really terrible way. Does that mean anything to you? And she looked at me like a ghost in her eyes, and she said 2 words, oh, snap. Say, oh, snap. Not those exact words, but something like that, she said. And so, yeah. So she cussed at me. Okay, just to get it away. And some of us can be like kind of old school and be like, oh, did you just leave that evil woman? No, because I do not expect non-believers to talk like believers. But church family, I do expect believers to act, pray, and do things like believers should. And so she's like, how did you know that? She's like, yeah, 3 days ago, I was in a car accident. It totaled my car. I'm in severe back pain even right now, but I have to work because I need the money. The goal, friends, is not for her to see that I know her business. The goal is for her to see that God sees her And that's the win every time. And so she's like, yeah, and I kind of tell her, like, hey, I think God just loves you. Like, he wants to show you that he loves you and sees you. And so really quickly, again, I pray. I pray just like this. I say, God, you love my friend so much. You sent your son Jesus to live a perfect sinless life on the earth. He ended up dying for us in your place, doing no sin, nothing like that. You were dead for 3 days. You rose from the dead, giving us life forever. If we say yes to you, I pray that my friend would. And I also pray you'd heal my friend's back in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always want to put a greater emphasis on what Jesus has done eternally for us rather than just temporarily here on earth for physical healing, although all they're great. And then within just a moment or two, she moves her back from side to side and she begins to cry. And it made me really uncomfortable because I didn't know what was happening. But then she's like, you don't get this. She's like, I don't understand what's happening. But she's like, I've never felt this good. I think your God just healed my back. And in one random moment at a Walmart, by God using some random guy, because I don't know if you know this, when I go to Walmart, I don't have like a pastor name tag that I wear in Walmart. I'm just a normal person like everybody else. And Holy Spirit is looking to empower normal people to do extraordinary things. And so, man, Holy Spirit wants to do this all the time. And here's what I love, is he wants to nudge us all of the time. And here's what I love, is in this room, I saw three different nudges. In this very room, nudge number one was this aggressive nudge. Like some of you got in a fight on the way to church, and you pulled up and you said, we will deal with this later, and that was you dealing with it later. And I get it. Number two was like a little tap, that's cute. Number three is some of you didn't do it at all, and I can see you, okay? Whatever. But here's what I want you to get this morning, is the level of nudge that you felt was determined by the level of relationship that you have. Man, if you're sitting next to someone you're really close with, they can nudge you pretty far. It's actually kind of a funny thing. But if you're sitting next to a stranger, and all of a sudden some guy says, hey, nudge the person next to you, and they push you out of their seat, that would be so strange. Like, could it happen? We're in Ohio. Yes. But like, I don't know. But the truth is, I think some of us are frustrated that we're not getting nudged by Holy Spirit. But my question is, like, how close are we sitting next to Holy Spirit? And the truth is I believe Holy Spirit wants to nudge us, and Jesus wants to give us the gift of more of Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at three passages real quickly, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer. And Jesus kind of gives us this nudge of power called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's really just more of Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says this. It's his last commandment to his disciples. He says, go and wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, go and wait for the gift my Father promised. And I love that Jesus calls more of Holy Spirit a gift. I mean, I love because by definition, I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do anything for it. I just have to receive it. So Jesus says the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Then he defines what it is in his last words ever recorded in the Bible. Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus in his last words ever recorded in the Bible, Jesus defines this gift we'll receive of more of Holy Spirit. And the gift, he says this, you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So may everywhere, in your home, your community, in your country, and to everywhere else, man, Holy Spirit is there to empower you to be a better witness of Jesus to others. You know, growing up, I thought witnessing was what we do to others, but honestly, witnessing is what other people should be doing to us. That when they see us, they should see Jesus. And when we pray, when we parent, and we talk to our kids, and we talk to our spouse, in every area of our life, people should see Jesus. And let me say it like this, like we're going to pray in a minute. We'll pray for miracles. We'll do all of that for sure. But let me tell you, Holy Spirit is not just here to equip you for Sunday morning spiritual experiences. Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be better husbands, better parents, man, better workers, like better, like just people in your life, better friends. Like Holy Spirit wants every area of your life. Man, I love that even that one of the songs you were singing of like, man, like Lord, like I'm gonna depend on you. Like I wanna be a dependent on God, not just on my own way. And so the last passage we'll look at and then we'll pray is the first time anyone received more of Holy Spirit in this manner. Is in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. It says this, it says, on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound that filled like the entire room where they were sitting It's not like it sounded like a wind like filled the entire room. And then it said tongues of fire, it looked like, separated on each one of them. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as Holy Spirit enabled them to do so. And I love this on so many levels. Now, man, I love the idea that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are given, man, this evidence, man, this extra way of talking with the Lord or kind of through him or through us, of speaking in tongues. And it's great. Romans 8 says that when we pray that way, that we actually pray the perfect will of God. And God wants to pray things through you that you would never have faith for to pray through yourself. And also in Jude 1:20, it says, when you pray in this way, it actually builds your faith. But our goal, let me say it like this, our goal this morning, friends, is not to speak in tongues, although that can happen for many of us. Our goal this morning is one thing, to get more of Holy Spirit than we walked in here with, to hear his voice, and then to do what his voice tells us to do in a healthy way. And so here's what I love, as we have this opportunity for this, but my favorite part of this whole passage is at the very end, it says, all of them were filled. In this moment, there's 120 followers of Jesus, and some of them had been following Jesus for years, literally years. Some of them had been following Jesus for months, and maybe some of them had only been following Jesus for weeks or even days. But yet, regardless of the longevity of their relationship with Jesus, all of them were filled. Which tells me this, even for this morning, regardless of the longevity you've had with Jesus, whether you've been like had a relationship with him for decades, for weeks, or you're about to step into that relationship with Jesus, all of us can be filled with more of him this morning.